Glad to have him here, along with his Uncle Bob, his brother-in-law Joe, his sister Tammy, his niece Sarah, his sister Dina, and his wife Amanda. And we're glad to have all of them here with him as well. And sister Tammy and sister Dina, I've known them for a lot of years, and they are both very talented, both very good on the piano and very good singers. And I kind of looked out there and they said they didn't have anything to sing right now, but maybe they'll do a song for us before the service is over. But the Lord really, truly blessed both of them with great talent. And then he got to my son-in-law, and he did the best he could with what he had to work with. But I had to get at least one in, or he'd think I didn't love him. But we're glad to have him tonight. Brother Scott has been preaching. He got called to preach very young. I believe he was 16. And he's been preaching about 19 or 20 years now. And he stays busy in the ministry. His ministry is mainly spent in preaching revival meetings. He also has a ministry at a retirement home there on the west side of Indianapolis, where he holds services twice a month for the residents of that retirement home. And he has a program, a radio program, on WBRI, which is 1500 on the AM dial there in Indianapolis, at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. So I want you to pray for his work in the ministry. And that radio program, I know he was doing a different radio program while I was in Indianapolis pastoring at Fellowship, and I saw the fruits of that. There were some people that came to the church there at Fellowship that had heard the radio program, and so I want you to pray for that work. And if you would like to, you can drive to Indianapolis on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and hear the program. But you probably won't do that, so you just keep that in mind. If you're ever going through Indianapolis on Saturday morning, you can tune into that. But we're going to ask him to come at this time, if he would, and just want to invite him to follow the Lord and preach the things that God has given him to preach, and you pray for him, and please give him your attention tonight. Brother Scott Hoskins. Bless you, son.
It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be in service with my in-laws once again. Even though he does make fun of me and pick on me all the time, it's still good to be with him. I've actually sort of missed that a little bit with him down here, but then I got a refreshing of it tonight, so now I'm ready to miss it a little bit more. But we love him and my mother-in-law very, very much. They are like second parents to me. And he has been a very big inspiration to me in my ministry, and I know he has to a lot of other young ministers there in Indianapolis also. But to start out, I just want to tell you about the Lord saving my soul. At the age of 9 years old, there at Fellowship, can't remember exactly what time of the year it was, whether it was spring, summer, fall, or winter, but I remember we were having a good service that morning there at Fellowship, and I was sitting on the A women corner side there on the front pew. And I guess I had a look on my face like something was bothering me, because my sister Tammy came over to me and asked me, "Are you lost?" And I don't even know if she remembers that day or not. But that day, God convicted my soul. I started seeking God at the age of 9, but I didn't find him till I was 11 years old during a revival there at Fellowship. Elder Calvin Perrigo was our pastor at the time, and Brother Don Watts was helping in a revival. And Brother Don was preaching on the pale horse, and he who rode up on him was death, and hell followed him. And God gave me a vision like I've never seen before of the place that I was going. And that horse was coming, and I could feel the breath on my neck. I sought the Lord with everything I had that night. Can't tell you who was there around me, what they were doing, or anything else. Only thing I know that me and God was there. And he spoke peace to my heart that night. But as soon as he did, old Satan come on the scene and said, "You didn't shout." Because I always thought I'd shout. So I didn't say anything for almost a year. In the fall there of the next year, Brother Perry Go opened the doors of the church. And I've been asking people, "How do you know you're saved?" And everybody just kept telling me, "You'll know." And I just wanted to strangle them because I wanted a definite answer. I wanted to know how I know. And they kept saying, "Well, you'll know." I wanted them to tell me I was saved is what I was looking for. But they told me this for years. And Elder Calvin Perigo, he opened the doors of the church. And that morning, I already worked it out with the Lord. I knew what happened. And there was no doubt in my mind what happened that night there at the church. And he opened the doors of the church, and without telling anybody, the next thing I know, I'm standing up and walking towards the front of the church to become a member of Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. And I don't know if it shocked me or my mom or my dad anymore. But I joined the church that day and was baptized the following week there at Buck Creek in Indianapolis, and been a member of the church ever since then. At the age of 16, I was sitting in my electronics class at Warren Central High School. And just having a wonderful day. Being a regular teenager, throwing paper wads, getting in trouble at school, just being a normal kid. And the Lord come down and says, "Son, preach my word." And here I was cutting up and acting up in school, and I went to my electronics class teacher and I told him, I said, "I'm sick." And he started laughing. He didn't know what God had just told me. He didn't know what was going on. The only thing he seen was a young man in the back throwing paper wads at another young man, and knew I was going to get in trouble for it. But he let me go down to the nurse that day, and I started talking to God there in the nurse's office. And you know, I didn't make too many excuses. I didn't fight very long. I think it was about 3 months later, I stood up on a fifth Sunday night there at Fellowship. And back then, my dad used to teach music on the fifth Sunday night. And I stood up when they asked for prayer requests. And I asked the church to pray for me because the Lord had called me to preach. My mom bent over double. My dad's knees buckled and he fell right there in the stage area of the pulpit. And one of the first words out of his mouth was the same words out of Calvin Perigo's mouth when I joined the church. He said, "Son, are you sure?" And I said, "I've never been more sure of anything in my life." See, when God speaks to us, there is no questioning who it is. It is a voice that is distinct. It is a voice that only you and God know about. And when he talks to us, you know it. I've been trying, and I use the word trying, to stand and preach ever since. I feel like I do a miserable job. But the Lord still got me in the world, so he still got me a purpose. As Brother Jerry said, my work is in the radio ministry, and that's where my heart is. Because God has just granted me liberty upon liberty there at the church. See, we pre-record. We can't do it live there at the radio station in Indianapolis. So we have to pre-record every week. And when we do, it's usually just me and my wife there in the building and no one else. And I preach to a bunch of empty pews. So this is refreshing tonight to actually see people out there. But I usually preach to a bunch of empty pews. And when I first started this, I thought, "Lord, how am I going to preach to nobody?" But the Lord has made a way. And I have wonderful liberty. And I've got 28 and a half minutes to fill. And I thought, "Lord, how am I going to do that preaching to nobody?" And my wife has to cut me off every week. And I'm still wanting to go. But the Lord has provided. The Lord has given to us. And my God, no matter what this world wants to say, no matter what some of our church members want to say, my God is real, he is alive, and he is helping and guiding us this very night. Tonight, we're going to take a reading lesson. We want to read two scriptures in two different places. One will be found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The other one will be found in James chapter 1, verse 17. And I do ask for your prayers tonight. Not that I can do anything, but that God will be honored and glorified in this service here tonight. We're going to start in James chapter 1, verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And now we want to go to Hebrews 13 and verse 8. And the writer says here, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. We have two different verses here, one speaking about the Father, one speaking about the Son, but both of them are saying the same thing. There is no change with God. There is no variableness, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want us to realize one thing tonight. The same God that went with Moses in front of Pharaoh is the same God we serve tonight. The same God that rained plagues down on Egypt is the same God that we worship and serve tonight. The same God that took Moses and the children of Israel to the Red Sea and even had Pharaoh coming behind him. And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, them children of Israel probably thought Moses had lost it. They seen the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh and his army coming away, and Moses just says, stand still. But Moses knew the God that he was serving was going to take care of him. The same God that split the Red Sea is the same God that is meeting with us here in this house tonight. He has not changed from day one, and He will not change. And tonight I hope that we can remember who our God is, who our Savior is, who our Redeemer is, who our leader is, who is the head of the church. I want us to remember tonight who we serve, because we live in a time that we need to be evangelizing the world. We need to be going out and not fearing the man, but fearing God and keeping His commandments. We need to be exactly what God would have us to be. You know, the old army saying, be all you can be. Well, you are in the army. You're in the army of God, and you must be all that you can be. We've got lost loved ones. We've got friends. We've got lost strangers that we don't even know that we need to tell about Jesus Christ. And we cannot do it alone. What did God tell Moses when He said, who am I to go to the Pharaoh? He said, I will go with you. I will go with you. Tonight, He is the same God that Moses served there. He is the same God that Elijah served when he went against the 400 prophets of Baal. He is the same God that came and rained fire down upon the altar and lapped up all the water. He is the same God that when Elijah went up and prayed seven times, He is the same God that sent a hand in the form of the cloud in form of a hand up and brought rain down upon him. He is the same God that Elisha served when he was surrounded by the Syrian army, and he told God, he prayed, Lord, open the eyes of this servant and show him where you're at. And God did. And the servant looked out, and he seen chariots of fire encamped all around him. And that was God's army. That was God's angels ready to protect and to serve. You know, this evening, that God is the same God that we are serving here tonight. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no change in God. His people have changed throughout the years. We have changed. And for lack of a better word, we have become lazy. We have become worldly. We have forgotten where we have come from. How many of us think about the night that we were, realized that we were lost and separated from God, and see where God has taken us and where He has brought us? As the psalmist said, He has taken us up out of the miry clay and placed our feet upon the rock. We have forgotten where we came from, just as the children of Israel did so many times, as they turned and mocked God and said, let us go back into Egypt. But we serve the same God when they got thirsty, made water come from a rock. We serve the same God when they got hungry, rained manna from the sky. We serve the same God tonight as Paul and Silas served there as they were put in the stocks there in the prison. We serve the same God that when they prayed and sang praises to His name at midnight, brought the earthquake and knocked the shackles off their hands. We serve the same God that saved the Philippian jailer there that night. We serve the same God that Zacchaeus was so excited to see that he climbed the sycamore tree. We serve the same God that by one touch of the hem of His garment healed a woman's blood issue. Just one touch. We serve that same God tonight. We serve the same God. The same God as our forefathers that spilled their blood, shed their blood, that we might have this religious freedom here tonight. We serve the same God that was there in the Garden of Eden with Adam when He breathed the breath of life and made him a living soul. We serve the same God that even the light feared because He spoke out, "Let there be light," and instantly the light appeared. We serve that same God. We serve that same God that rained water on the earth and brought it up from underneath the earth for 40 days and 40 nights and destroyed the world. We serve that same God tonight. You know, I think a lot of times we forget who we serve and what He's about. You know, Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 28, I believe it's the 18th verse, that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We serve an almighty God. We serve one that has authority over everything, whether it be on earth or in heaven. Jesus has authority over all. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the one that will take us from point A to point B if we rely on Him. But He will not force us from point A to point B. You see, He is the same God that Christ spoke there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, thus saith the Lord." He said, "I am He that which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." He is that same God today that John, there in the first chapter of Revelation, when he looked upon Him, he fell at His feet as dead because he was afraid of the power of God. The glory of God. We serve that same God today. We serve the same God that when Moses seen the tail end of His glory there in the mountain, that His face shone so bright when He came down that they had to put a veil over His face. We serve that same God today. We serve the same God that when He says that there will be no moon and there will be no sun in heaven, but He says the lamb thereof will be the light of the city. We serve that God here upon this earth today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even in the year 2007, He is still the same God that He was in the beginning of time. See, He has not changed. And He is ready and willing to help His children. He told Ezekiel, He said, "Fear thou not." I believe you can find this in the second chapter there. He said, fear thou not the man, but go to the heathen. Go into them. You know, today we're afraid to go to the heathen men. We're afraid to go into places where we need to go because we fear for our life. Well, you know what? My life is nothing unless God is honored and glorified in it. My life is nothing unless God is in the middle of it. My family is nothing unless God is the head of my household. And if I do not go where God would have me to go, then I am turning my back on my living Savior. You see, there's more than just our comfortable comfort zones. There are places, I know there are, where you don't want to go to at night. But we need to be taking the Word to them night or day. You see, there's places we don't really feel comfortable in. And I'm sure Elijah there didn't really feel real comfortable going up against the 400 prophets of Baal. I'm sure Moses didn't feel real comfortable going up Pharaoh and his army. I'm sure Paul didn't feel real comfortable going against all the people he did there. And he still stood for God. I'm sure John the Baptist didn't feel comfortable when he said, "Oh, ye generations of vipers." You know, we don't feel comfortable all the time in the work of the Lord, but we must work for Him because He has not changed. His plan is still the same as it was from day one. He still has a plan made for salvation to each and every one that will come. And that is what we need to be getting out. You know, I've asked God and I've prayed so hard that through this radio ministry that God would open door after door after door. And you know what? If you ask God for something, He will deliver. If it's a true desire of your heart, if you truly get through to the throne, He will deliver. He has opened so many doors in this radio broadcast, and it has been such a blessing. But you know, with each and every door, you've got to be willing to walk through no matter what the consequences is on the other side of the door. And He has showed me that with this. And see, today, on the other side of that door right there, we don't know what we're going to face, do we? We don't know from day to day, but we know one thing. Jesus Christ said there in the last chapter of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, in the last verse there, He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's one guarantee we have in this life, that Jesus Christ, if He takes us somewhere, that He will walk beside us the whole way. See, He is the same God, the same Savior, the same Redeemer that spoke there in that last few verses of Matthew. He is the same one that is speaking to our heart even today. He said in John chapter 10, He said, I and the Father are one. You see, we read about the Father where there is no variableness found, and we read about Jesus where it says that He is the same forever. See, Him and the Father are like one. But we don't want to leave out our best friend, the Holy Spirit, either. You see, Jesus left us a comforter here, there on the day of Pentecost when He came through. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send one to comfort you." And that is the Holy Spirit. And He is the one that is leading and guiding and directing each and every one of our lives every day. But you know, He's just like the Father and He's just like the Son. He's not going to make you follow Him. But when you do, He's not going to leave you hanging either. He's going to walk with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. You know, He is our road map to this world. If we would just listen to Him, He is there. You know, the Holy Spirit guided so many people throughout the Bible. But I like Paul. How you can look in Paul's life and see the Spirit leading him from one place to another, opening door after door. Paul always went back and told his testimony. Always told what happened to him on the road to Damascus. You can find it different times there in the book of Acts where he was brought before different people. And what did he do? He told them what happened to him. Do you realize that you hold one of the most powerful tools in the arsenal of God? And that is your personal testimony of salvation. Because that's something that you have personally witnessed with God. And men and women of this world want to hear personal stories almost more than they want to hear the truth preached. They want to feel that personal relationship there. They want to know that what you witnessed was something you witnessed and not what someone told you about. You see, that's one thing different there. In Indianapolis, there's all different kinds of teachings. I'm sure there is here too. And one of them is where the minister comes up and tells you you've been saved. One of them is where he asks you, "Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And the only thing you got to do is say yes, whether you really think you have or not. Doesn't matter to him. Once you say yes, he says, "Well, you're saved. Welcome to the family. Join the church and put your name on the roll." And that's one of the biggest tactics there in Indianapolis to get people deceived. And it's been one of the biggest burdens in my ministry, is to try to battle against the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's a man I work with named Monty Botkin. He's the vice president of the company, and through the first radio broadcast that we had when Brother Jerry was there, he started listening, and he was a well-known member of this other non-denominational church there in Indianapolis, and he had me completely fooled that God has saved his soul. You understand something? People can fool us. People can make us think. A lot of times they can make us think what we really want to think. We get it in our head And then next thing you know, they start saying a few words. Well, yeah, you were, wasn't you? See, people can fool us, but you can never fool God. See, he had me and the church totally convinced. A year ago this past January was the first time he ever stepped foot into Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church, and I was preaching there one Sunday morning, and he came in and he stayed for service. Him and about four others from work came, and they stayed for service, and we had a good service. And then I couldn't quite get him away from that other church and get him to keep coming. And finally, he started coming on Wednesday nights. And don't think Wednesday nights any less important than Sunday morning. Because he started coming on Wednesday nights and he started seeing something that sparked an interest in him. He started seeing the Spirit of God working among God's children. And he would always tell me, he said, I like going there. You can feel the Spirit. And I mean, the man had me totally convinced that he was saved. He traveled with us from a couple of revivals, and he witnessed some people being saved. And then this last revival there at Fellowship, I think was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because the Lord revealed to him, a little girl got saved there in about four pews back. And Monty was there, and the Lord revealed to him, you ain't got that. And he didn't say one word to me. So I'm still thinking that he's saved. A few days later there at work, he came in, and I was down in the supply room, and he came in and he just had a smile. And I was like, Monty, what's up? And he just looked at me and he said, last night I had to kneel down beside my bedside and I had to repent. I said, well, what'd you do? And he looked at me and said, what do you mean what I do? The Lord saved my soul there by my bedside. And I was like, I was just floored. And he went to the church that Wednesday night and he told the church that the Lord saved his soul there. And when he got up and started talking, even the pastor there at Fellowship, Brother James Gregory, thought that Monty was getting ready to own his call to preach. See, he had the whole church convinced that he was saved by God's grace. But you want to know what? He came and he joined the church, and he's been one of our strongest members, strongest faithful members, not in the church, but outside the church. You see, he tells everyone that he comes in contact with what God has done for him. See, God brought him out of that miry clay of deception and placed him upon a rock. And this is a message that we need to be getting out. That yes, there are ways of deception out in this world, but we as God's children don't need to be discouraged. But we need to remember and hold on to that rock that we've been set upon and battle the deception of the world. Has it changed? There was deception back in Paul's time, wasn't there? There's all kinds of idol gods that men and women were serving. It hasn't changed. Deception's been in the world since Satan came here. He's been deceiving ever since he deceived Eve there in the Garden of Eden. Deception has not changed, but what has changed is the boldness of God's children. We must realize who we're serving. We must realize why we're serving Him. And I hope you know why you're serving Him tonight. I know why I'm serving Him. I'm serving Him. He saved my soul. He brought me out of hell's flaming pit. And you might say, well, you wasn't in hell. I was on my way. I was on my way to split hell wide open. You know where Isaiah says that hell hath enlarged herself? You know, hell enlarged herself one day for me. I was getting ready to go. I had that vision in my head. But when God saved my soul, He closed hell up just a little bit more because I'm not there. See, hell enlarged itself for each and every one. And by the grace of God, He's pulled me out of that hell. He's not let me go to that hell because He saved my soul. And if you think salvation is just an escape from hell, then you're thinking wrong about salvation. That's just a benefit of salvation, is an escape from hell. Salvation is a drafting into God's army. And that's what you've been drafted into when God saved your soul. No matter how young or how old you are, if God has saved your soul, you've been drafted into His army. And you must remember who is the chief commander. And that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the house, He is the head of the church, and He should be the head of your life. If He is not, then you will have problems trying to serve Him in this world. It is impossible unless He is the head. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday and forever, and you will find no variableness in the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. Amen. They have not changed from day one. They will not change. And we need to hold on to that unchanging hand. Isaiah says in the 41st chapter to hold on to the right hand of God. And that's where we need to hold on to this evening. I thank you for your attention. And that's my message. That's all I have in my heart. Brother Jerry.
Appreciate the good message. I just hope and pray that we'll all take it to heart and apply it to our lives. You know, I've always thought about people that I have read about in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, many of the people that Brother Scott talked about tonight. And I realized that they lived much different lives. They lived a much different life than what I have lived. And I had this thought one time that if Abraham in his time and me in my time, if we somehow came together, we wouldn't have anything in common. I mean, his life was so much different than what mine was. And I'm talking about in the way of everyday life, we wouldn't have anything in common with each other. But you know, there's one link. There's one link that has linked every generation of people together that's ever lived on the earth, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the common link of every generation that's ever lived. And aren't you glad to know that if God allows time to go on, that when you and I are gone from the world and our descendants are still living here, that he'll still be here? I mean, that makes it a whole lot easier to die, doesn't it? Knowing that the same God that's been with us will surely be with them. I appreciate the good message and the good thought in it. Let's stand and Brother Carlock, if you would, select an appropriate song, please, and